Helps to unmute. Thank you, Sandy. So, welcome. We may have a few other folks joining, but I want to be respectful of your time and have us go ahead and begin on time. Much appreciated for all of you joining. So before we jump into talking with our esteemed guest for this evening, who is Anne-Marie McKelvey, our founder and school director, I want to have us kind of settle into our space together and let the rest of whatever's been going on around us before we've arrived here kind of just go on pause for the duration of our time together. It's only at this point 59 minutes, and we can certainly all afford that in our days. We probably also need that in our days. So if you would join me, I'll invite you to either close your eyes or soften your gaze, some maybe, I don't know, a foot in front of you or whatever is comfortable, and just allow yourself to slow and to pause. And in this pause, recognize the breath. Without trying to change it or influence it or judge it, just allow the breath to breathe your body. Notice where that breath exists in your body. And perhaps invite that breath to expand into parts of the body where perhaps it feels like it doesn't reach normally. So the small of the back, the front of the shin, the palm of your hand, the front of the throat, anywhere that calls to you that feels like it needs air or light. And let this natural breath of yours just go, recognizing no need to control it, no need to master it or perfect it, just allowing it to breathe and nourish you. And notice the settling. And with this calm and settled state, let us see where we go in our time together. So enjoy 2 to 3 natural breath cycles, and then we will join together. All right. So welcome again. And welcome, especially to those of you who've just joined. We, again, are joined by Anne-Marie McKelvey tonight. Super excited. I hope you're excited to talk with us, Anne-Marie. So this is a great opportunity for all of you, especially anyone who's joining us for the first time, to get a chance to hear Anne-Marie talk about some of the classes that are happening at the school. We don't always get her because she's busy. And so we're really pleased to have her joining us at this point in time. So we are going to talk a little bit about some of the classes that are coming up. One is Business Alchemy. It's been around for a while. It's one of the core classes in our offering for credentialing. So we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to also talk about one of the new classes, which we're very excited to offer, which builds upon some of the ideas that are currently discussed in our Write Speech class. So this class is called Deeper Than Words, and it's all about kind of compassionate communication and connection. So we'll talk about that. And then actually, I'm going to get a chance to coach Anne-Marie. So this will be kind of a fun little adventure. So Anne-Marie, welcome.
Thanks, Liv. Thank you. Deep bow, yeah. Everybody. It's good to see you. Yeah, so we're going to be talking about two classes, but it's not just marketing those classes. It's kind of pulling those classes in and how they became part of the curriculum at the school and the importance. Because these two classes Deeper Than Words is having its launch in October. It's the first time it's been offered. And I've been waiting to offer this class for 6 years since the school began. And the Business Alchemy class came at the end of getting all of our core classes, and that was the last one that we did. And so both of these classes are real important to me, and it's like, you know, the success piece. It's like, yeah, we got it in there. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, the piece about, you know, when we're all entrepreneurs here, you know, all of us, each one of us. And so to be able to focus in on our goal and to remember what the goal is also, it's a big one sometimes, and then go forward. So 6 years later, you know, we have Deeper Than Words, which is about nonviolent communication. So I'm just delighted. And I'm going to share a little bit more about that later, but I just wanted to say that. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. So Business Alchemy, let's start there. It sounds kind of magical, just because of the alchemical aspect of it. So I'm really curious about kind of how does that alchemy part match with some of the nitty gritty stuff that kind of that I associate with the word business?
Sure. So I'm a businesswoman. I love business. I think what I get off on is when things become successful. It's like I kind of get these hits on, oh, this is the next step, and this is the next step, and this is the next step. And then it feels as though something else starts moving, something else starts happening. And that's when the magic starts going. So the way I look at our school is that it's all about alchemy. I started with one class, Art of Engaged Mindfulness, and it just kept growing from there. And suddenly it was like, we kind of looked around and went, this is sort of the definition of the school. You know, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. The consistent piece of Business Alchemy in response to our school, Mindfulness Coaching School, is that it has always attracted amazing people. I mean, I wake up in the morning and I think, yeah, I get to work with these people. You know, I get to work with so-and-so. It's like I just had Rachel in Body Electric, which is all about the somatic aspect of coaching. And, you know, it's like when I saw that she was here tonight, it was like, yeah, you know, Jalene wasn't, you know, she had a family emergency. So she wasn't in Body Electric, but she called. It's like, you know, we keep in touch with each other. There's a community aspect to the Mindfulness Coaching School. And as a result of that, we're able to kind of get into the magic, into the alchemy, because alchemy is about transformation. And it's not just transformation on the physical level. It's also on the psychological level. It's also on the spiritual level. It's on lots of different levels. So the alchemy part it's still nuts and bolts. You know, it's like we still know, you know, when we think about the old time alchemists, you know, they transformed lead into gold. And as coaches, we help our clients transform themselves into the golden nature of themselves. But we do that first by working on ourselves. So all of our classes are based on first working on us, and then we take that to the streets.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I love the word alchemy. I just all that. it gets me excited. You know, it's like it gives my life more meaning.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And I think that there is an element to even as coaches kind of coming in, like not everyone has done businessy things or has been a business owner before they become a coach. And so it's kind of cool that in business alchemy, that transformation happens from someone who is a great coach and who's continuing to learn to be even a great, an even greater coach, becoming someone who understands the things that need to be done to market themselves and to kind of be able to talk in the world about the work that they do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a, what is it? I don't know what you'd call it. It's not a poem. It's like a writing piece. It's a piece. And many of you know it, especially if you're students here at the school, because I like to have it in our stretch class, in Art of Engaged Mindfulness, in the Dynamic Trio, and also in Business Alchemy. And I'd like to read it to you, and I'm going to put it in chat. But this for me is, you know, I've been working with this since 1979. It's a long time, 1979. I've loved this. This piece, it's by a fellow named W.H. Murray. And before I go forward, let me just put it in chat. Can I put it in chat? Yeah, I can. There we go. Okay. So just, I'd like to invite you to just sort of sit back and close your eyes, if that feels comfortable. And just listen. I'm probably going to repeat in a couple places, but this for me is, it's almost like a magic potion. Until one is committed, that's what it's called, until one is committed. And again, I've had many businesses and this is what sparks me. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid fit plans. That the moment, and this is the truth, the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance, which no man or woman could have dreamt would have come their way. I have learned a deep respect for one of Goethe's couplets. Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. And sometimes boldness looks like just taking a deep breath, taking your phone and calling someone and saying, hey, I just heard that you're wanting to attain a goal. You want to really dream. You've been dreaming about this goal and now you want to put it into action. And I would like to work with you. I'm a coach. I'm a student at the Mindfulness Coaching School and want to work. I'm on an internship. And that takes boldness to do that. It's scary. And you stumble in the beginning. You know, you kind of off your words. And then all of a sudden, you come to attention and you are the coach. But until you start playing that with yourself, you know, I mean, you're not a coach until you have clients. So yeah. I want to encourage each of you to take this until one is committed. And just think about it. You know, it's like maybe some of you are dancing around the
idea. Oh, sorry.
Are you okay?
Yeah, sorry, my chimes are going off.
Well, let's.
So here's the magic.
In coaching, we would go, okay, so this is global listening. This wasn't planned. So what's that about? So chimes.
Exactly.
Anne Marie was talking about what? Does anybody remember what I was just saying when the chimes went off? Who remembers? Sandy.
What I heard is that you're not a coach till you have clients.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. So yes. Write that down. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Because that pulls our attention. And that's global listening, which is not what this tonight's about. But I guess it's sort of about it because it's a little bit like alchemy.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to encourage you to cut and paste until one is committed. You can also Google it and print it out. But feel into it. You know, some of you might be wanting to get off sugar, for instance. Until you're committed to doing it, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It just won't happen. You know, some of you are probably dancing around taking some classes here at the school, and you're not really quite sure, and maybe you're not really good enough to be a coach. You know, all those little, you know, monkey mind thoughts. Well, what would it take for you to get committed to doing it? You know, Millie Carey just made major commitments in the last few days with her coaching business. And she's here tonight, you know, because she's committed. And, you know, so there's lots of things that start happening when you get committed.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And Business Alchemy there starts on Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. Yeah. I thought it was
not mistaken.
Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a great opportunity to jump in and join that course. And I just have to say that Kristen Moody.
We have to say something about Kristen.
She's fantastic. I mean, I absolutely adore her. I mean, I adore all of our teachers, but I got to tell you, I love a strong, powerful woman who teaches things about business. And that is who Kristen is. That's who Anne Marie is. This is, I am all about. Raising up strong, powerful women who do great stuff. So Kristen is one of them, and she's an empathy scholar as well as being a coach, and she's a fantastic teacher, and she keeps everything super real. So there's something wonderful about learning business type things around your coaching practice from someone who keeps it real. I have to tell you that I have joined some business type classes around marketing my own business that have not kept it real. It's all very kind of airy fairy and out there and kind of like not really super hopeful. Kristen keeps it real. So I just have to put in a plug for her. I don't know if you would want to add anything, Anne Marie.
Jalene, Rachel, you've taken classes from Kristen. Do you have anything that you'd like to say?
I would just say she's got a really great energy and echo what Liv has said, because she does keep it real, you know, and you get a lot of tools. You get to work out what works for you, identify your own values to form your business around what values to you and how you want to be present in the world as a coach.
Lovely. Yeah. Thank you.
Rachel?
I really enjoyed her energy. She was amazing in regards to energizing you to take the right steps that were the right ones for you and how you wanted to be the right coach for the right environment and the right people that you aligned to. I felt was a strong thing that I learned from the course.
Great. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I wanted to say something.
Yeah, I might just add that I think as far as being an experienced instructor, she has all the bases covered and is so thorough in the way she disseminates information and then is also available to chat at length and just be an amazing resource.
Yeah.
Highly recommended. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, thank you all for your chiming in and about your experiences with the course and with Kristen. I think that's great. So again, Wednesday it starts, and their space. So if that's something that you're interested in, I would go ahead and take that bold move and join the course, because right. there shall be magic in it as well. Right. So I do want to switch gears, make sure we have time to talk about Deeper Than Words. Mm-hmm. That is a new offering, mm-hmm. as you have heard. So Anne Marie, what I'm curious, you know, you mentioned that this has been a long time coming. Why has it been such an important thing to stay focused on and something to continue to sort of incubate over the years?
It's because nonviolent communication is part of my life, and it has been for, my son is 34 and he got into it when he was 15. So what is that, 19 years? 19 years. So almost 20 years. And I studied with the man who is the father of nonviolent communication, Marshall Rosenberg, who unfortunately has passed. But he was such a character, that's for a whole other segment. But I got hooked into nonviolent communication through some really good friends of mine who happened to be the godparents of my son, Jim and Jory Mansky, who live over in Maui now. And it's need based, so it's about like what needs are going unmet for you right now. And then finding out, you can ask that question of a friend, of a colleague, of a business, you know, of your client. You can also ask that of yourself. And there are times when, you know, we go to bed at night and we feel great and we're excited about the next day and we sleep well. And then we get up and we're kind of cranky and grouchy. And that's a good time just to ask, what needs are going unmet for myself right now? Well, I need 15 more minutes of sleep. I was in the middle of a dream, you know. So you give yourself that dream time. Or, you know, you're just feeling off center and you've got to give a talk. Or you're going to call on an organization and talk about your coaching skills and your coaching business. And suddenly you get really scared. You know, it's like, oh, I don't want to do this. What needs are up for you right now? Well, I want to feel safe. I want to feel secure. And I want to really be successful at this. So then you ask yourself, how can you do that for yourself? And you make requests. So the first time this happened that I really saw NVC working, nonviolent communication, it's also called compassionate communication sometimes, was my son was in high school and he had to do a mentorship, and he did it with his godparents who did nonviolent communication workshops. And he was down in Albuquerque and he called me, and he was in the middle of the workshop. They were having a break and he said, so mom, are you going to be up later on when I get home? Cause it's like an hour drive. He'd be home around 10. And I said, yeah, I could be up. And he goes, well, let's have some tea. And I went, okay. And he said, I just want to talk to you about a couple of things. And so I was up at 10, we had tea, and in the middle of the tea, he said, so I know that your needs for my safety are up, and I have a need for a curfew of 11 o'clock instead of 10. And from there we went. And up until that point, whenever he would say 11, I'd say, no, no negotiation. No, too young. You don't need to be out. We live out of town. You have to go I-25. It's, you know, no, too many. Yeah. But then what I heard when he said, you know, I know that your need for my safety is really important. I got that he understood that I wanted him to be safe. And that's the only reason I was saying no to him. And so as a result, then what had been this big hullabaloo that would always end in, you know, I'm this side, he's over here on this side, it became a strategy. So how can we create some strategies that I know you're safe, that and you are safe, and you can stay out till 11 o'clock. Now, this might be minimum. This is, you know, some of you might go, no, that's not a big deal. But you know what? It totally changed our relationship as a mom and a son. And from then on, I really saw how nonviolent communication can work. And I used it when I got divorced And my husband and I are really, my former husband and I are really, really good friends. You know, I mean, we get together at least once or twice a week, hiking or biking or playing cards and, you know, whatever, Catan. And it's because I really know that it's because of nonviolent communication. So I wanted that in the school, because right now, can you imagine if each of us went out into the world right now and we looked at the headlines that are going on, and we took a person, each of us took a different person, and we who was really upset around what's going on in the world, and we said, what needs are being unmet for you? And then we helped them meet, get those needs met. Can you imagine what the world would be like? And so that's, for me, why I want Deeper Than Words. And that this is, it's, I chose the title Deeper Than Words with Surgeon, who I'm going to talk about in just a minute, because it's based on a book by Brother David Steindl Rost, who many of you know, who know me and who've been, you know, students of mine. He was one of my mentors for many years. And he's an Austrian priest, Catholic priest, who's also into Zen Buddhism in a big way. So I wanted to call it Deeper Than Words, and because that's what nonviolent communication is all about. Yeah.
Got it. So this has really been a part of your life for a very long time.
It has been.
Yeah. So I'm curious about the title for the rest of the title. The rest of the title of the course is Compassionate Communication for Leaders.
Right.
Or for today's leaders. And so what if someone wants to take it in there and like feeling like, well, I'm not really a leader. what if there's a sense of like, oh, I really want to take this, but I might not want to go there, or I might not want to try it if I don't identify myself as a leader. Because I know that this is for everyone, because we are all, as coaches, we are guides and leaders. Right. So yeah. I get that. I just wonder if, you know, from your perspective, what's the welcome mat look like for everyone?
I think right now we need a lot of leaders. And sometimes it could be, you know, you don't have to have these long dissertations to be a leader. You don't have to tell people what to do and have business models and things like that. It can be just being in a meeting. It can be with your family of origin or extended family. And something's happening that you don't like, and you just speak up and say, you know what, this doesn't work. This does not work for me. And it could be that you leave the room. You know, it's like you're showing your true colors, as Phil Collins would sing about. And, you know, it's like who you are. Because I think more and more we need people to not go into trance. I wrote about this in a blog recently. You know, this is not a dress rehearsal. You know, for many years, you know, I felt like all of us on the planet were kind of getting ready for something. And you know, we were learning how to do this and that, and going to workshops and retreats and things like that. And now it's like, now it's time to, how you say, put the pedal to the metal. And there's a great song that I can't remember right now, but one of the stanzas is, you know, you've got to separate the tools from the toys, and the women from the girls and the men from the boys. And it's like, it's time to really have a straight spine of courage. And so leadership doesn't mean that you have to, you know, be the head of an organization. It can just mean that you're walking your path and you're doing it in your integrity. So yeah. This is a lot about what the course is. And do I have time to talk a little bit about Surgeon for a second?
Yes, please do talk about Surgeon, and then we do want to coach. Okay. So Surgeon is the instructor.
So Surgeon came on board at the school about a year and a half ago. And he had, I'd been waiting for somebody like him and looking for somebody like him, because he has all the credentials to teach nonviolent communication. And I didn't want to do it for a variety of reasons, but it's like, I just don't want to do all the classes. And so when Surgeon came on and I'd learned that he was going through nonviolent communication, the whole leadership course of NVC, and he was he was a candidate to be a trainer. I got really excited. And then I got even more excited because of who he is in class. And who's worked with Surgeon before? Just kind of raise your hand.
I have. He was a student in my class.
And he's just the best. He's got such a big heart. And he lives in Montenegro. So he's, you know, East European. And he's Mediterranean. I mean, he's fun. And he's very smart. He's an executive coach. But he's also somebody who is not just all about business. He's all about his heart first. So he just got his PCC. And so he's going to be teaching the class. So we're real excited. And I've been working with him personally, getting it organized. And so anyway, it's all set. It's all approved. Some of you were waiting until, because it was pending with ICF to get your credentials, but it's totally approved. So anyway, I'm delighted he's doing it. I'm just like tears kind of delighted.
Great.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Great. He'll be a great addition, or the class will be a great addition. And he is a perfect person to be teaching the course.
I want to say one more thing that we're starting. I'm working on our mission statement for the school because I want to get two things in. And this is what the this is actually, it's reflective of most of our classes, but I want to rewrite it so that it says that we're about alleviating suffering in the world and activating more love in the world. And in coaching, love is not really talked about very much. And at our school, we fall in love with our students, you know? I mean, it's just like we fall in love with our clients. It's like, I love Millie Carey and Cindy Friedman down there, who's not showing her face. I mean, it's like, you know, these are people that you know, I have history with and live. And so as coaches, it's time that we start talking about love because we need to have more of it on the planet. Otherwise, you know, some odd things might start happening, even worse than what's going on now. So activating love is one of the things I want to bring forward on the mission statement. Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. That's all I got.
Great. Oh, Cindy doesn't see. I wonder if it's, I'm having some issues with adding people. I'm having some Zoom troubles, but anyway. So let's do a little bit of coaching. So I'm going to coach Anne Marie. And for those of you who are, you know, maybe joining us for the first time or have kind of don't really know the drill. So the way that I will coach is sort of a kind of the typical arc of a session as far as how we teach it at the school, which is aligned to the ICF requirements. So there will be that. And then there will be also the addition of kind of what we add in the mindfulness coaching school around connection with the self, especially with the body, and kind of just that, not just the up here, not just the cognitive type of work, but the kind of the whole self. So just to kind of give you a bit of a prime there, those are some of the things that you may see. So what I'll ask is, if you, as you observe the session, and by observing, I mean, not just what you see, but by what you hear, you know, just take some note, be aware of the things that you find interesting or the things that you find curious. And we'll do a little bit of a debrief and unpacking after the session. And so if you all wouldn't mind, so that just Anne Marie and I are on the video, just go ahead and, turn your cameras off. And I apologize, Cindy and Veronica, you probably are as well having issues with the camera. I just cannot seem to get you flipped over.
I wonder if it's me. Because I've got, promote to panelists.
Yeah, can you do that from your side?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Okay. They should both be.
Yeah, now I want to see their faces.
Now we can't see their faces. Okay.
Now let's can't see their faces. Okay. I imagine that you're both smiling, however. Okay. Anne Marie.
Yes.
Do I have permission to coach you?
Yes, you do.
Wonderful. Thank you. So just as a reminder, as an ICF credentialed coach, I am committed to the ICF's code of ethics, which means, most importantly to me, that what you and I talk about is confidential. Mm-hmm. I won't share it. I won't even, you know, talk to anyone about the fact that we've worked together. But where that would be an exception is if I were to sense that you might be at risk of harming yourself or someone else, then I would break that confidentiality.
Sure. I totally understand.
Is that okay? Do you understand?
Yep.
Okay. The only thing I want to point out is we are being recorded and we do have colleagues and friends joining us here. So there will be other folks listening to what we talk about. So for this particular session, just be aware. So where would you like to be by the end of our session?
Excited.
Excited. Okay.
Yeah, I want to be excited about going to Baja.
Oh, wow. That sounds exciting right away.
I know. You don't know about that. This is the first time it's gone public.
Okay. All right. You want to be excited. So I'm guessing, now just you'd let me know if this is not appropriate. What you're saying sounds to me a little bit like you're not excited now. Would that be appropriate to sense that? Am I
it wouldn't be off? Appropriate. I think it'd be more appropriate to say that I'm a little nervous and scared.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What if excitement can exist with nervous and scared?
Well, I guess excitement and fear, I feel like are on the same, same coin, different sides. Mm-hmm. Cause it feels mm-hmm. the same. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get COVID.
Oh, okay. All right. So there's something specific.
Yeah. I don't want to get variant. There's another variant. There's two variants. I just found out today that some of my friends have COVID.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah.
So it's kind of red flag.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So there's a health and safety issue there. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm curious if there's anything else around excitement that is kind of keeping it from you. Like, I just have this sense that you are here and that excitement is somewhere out there, over there.
Hmm.
And so I'm wondering what's in between. I mean, so there's COVID,
mm-hmm.
which is a very real thing. And I want to acknowledge you for being aware of that mm-hmm. for your own safety. And what else is there?
Well, there's water and land between me and there, but I, there's that piece. But I think too, I have made reservations and canceled reservations 6 times in the last 3 months.
Okay.
And they've been really like fun things. I've been excited about doing it. And then it's like, too much.
Okay.
Too much COVID stuff.
Okay.
And, I don't want to do that to this one. I really want to go. I haven't been near the water, since the school started.
Uh-huh. Wow. How many reallys was that? Really?
I think I'm trying to convince that part of myself is going, you should be a responsible citizen, and da da da.
Oh, interesting. Okay. What's that voice?
I don't know. It's like following the rules, stay confined. And I've been having so much fun the last few months, just going to different places, going to museums and the botanical gardens,
mm-hmm.
and staying safe, staying cautious, staying out of masses. I didn't mm-hmm. go see Kevmo. I really wanted to go see Kevmo, but it was...
Okay. I'm just going to stop you there for 1 second. So would you be willing to do a little sort of connection with this possibility of excitement and maybe the fear and the safety concerns? Just do a little bit of that connection with what's going on for you in your body around those things.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Thank you. All right. So just, if you wouldn't mind, just find yourself settled in your chair. I assume you're sitting. And as you are recognizing that you are supported by the structure of this chair, imagine the excitement. Like, let this sense of excitement just appear with you in the room there. If it wants to come closer to you, what happens? Or if it wants to actually arise and join in with you, what happens?
Actually, what's happening is I'm barefoot and I'm feeling the sand underneath my feet, and how when you're walking on wet sand, you know, when it's a certain level of wetness, it squeaks. And I just felt a surge of happiness. It was like, yeah.
Okay, happiness. Okay. So in that sense of happiness, where or how close, actually where is those, are those sensations of fear and worry?
They're really in the background. They're like in the back parking lot of my mind.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm feeling that sensation of wetness on my feet and I'm hearing the waves and yeah, I'm just, yeah.
Okay.
It's like the heartbeat of Gaia.
Mm-hmm. What is Gaia? If you're feeling the heartbeat of Gaia, what does Gaia have to say to that potential for excitement?
that it's necessary for me to go down and to get reconnected again. I need a reset. Mm-hmm. I need a recalibration. Yeah, of water. You know, I love the high desert and I love the pinyons and the great horned owls and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I need, yeah, right now.
So you're hearing some very specific things and you're feeling some very specific things. So just for a moment before we rejoin, reconnect with that feeling of the sand and that sound, that slight squeak. Let that happiness glow. And recognize that fear is still there.
It's not there.
It's not there. It was in the parking lot of your mind, which is, mm-hmm. Has it gone somewhere else?
Yeah, it's just not there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, all right.
Yeah. It's like by being connected, by really feeling like my body's connected to the earth, to the planet, it's like the fear goes away.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Well, that is pretty fantastic. So before we come out, would it be okay if I offer something?
Sure.
I just want to offer thanks and gratitude to you, to your feet and to your awareness and being able to really listen with your whole self. All right, so if you would rejoin me. When you're ready.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So,
wow.
Where are you now with respect to this idea of I want to be excited?
I feel like a turtle I think a turtle. I feel like a turtle that has, I kind of stuck my head out and then kind of came back in. And then now I feel comfortable. You know, it's like it's the environment, the outer environment is okay. I can come out. I mean, I played the game for almost a year and a half of being, you know, totally here at the house in my mm-hmm. office.
And okay.
I mean, I saw you and Brian and two friends in a pod.
Mm-hmm.
And my son, and that was it.
Okay.
And so I think.
So, yeah. So when you say that turtle, I mean, I'm recognizing that there is a hard shell and there is something that's very protective.
Yeah.
And that it goes with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like you are moving and you can be in the world and you still are protected.
Mm-hmm.
What would it take for you to recognize that you carry your protection and your safety with you?
The first thing that comes up is that I just get a lot of pictures of turtles.
Okay.
Put them on Great. A poster board, you know, and kind of make a vision board of turtles.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I like that, because there is a protectiveness, you know, there's the shell, and I love turtles. I've loved turtles since I was a little girl. Mm-hmm. So, I could do that.
Yeah, I love that. So, I'm wondering if I might offer you a challenge.
Sure.
When will you plan your departure to Baja?
Well, it's all set.
Ah!
I've got the airline reservations and everything. But because I've been canceling everything, I thought, well, I could cancel all this stuff too.
Surprise!
I'm going to cancel, you know?
Okay.
But that's a good question because I have not, I would like to, you know, pull out my sarongs from Maui and get my flip-flops. I mean, there's certain things that I could start
getting
together. Yeah, it's more real.
Okay. Oh, that makes me excited that you already have reservations, which means you have a date, which means this is happening.
I'm doing it.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I want to be excited about it as opposed to... You know, did I make the right decision? What happens if I die in a country
where
I can't breathe?
So where's that coming from? Where's that coming from?
I think from the media. And because I have friends who've gotten COVID and, you know, everybody has a different experience.
Okay. And what if you do get it?
And if I do get it, I'm going to be in good hands down there.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll be in very good hands down there.
Okay. Okay. All right. So going back to this idea of I want to be excited.
Yes.
Where would you rate your level of excitement if one was where we started? Or you can tell me if it was one or maybe it was negative something. I don't know. Where might you have moved to on the higher end of a scale if the end of the scale is 10?
And the high part is a zero?
The low part.
The low part's a zero.
Well, you can tell me where you want the low part because I'm not going to tell you where you were in life.
Okay, so if 10 is like, totally excited, 100% right there, I think I'm probably at a 9.5.
Okay.
Right now. I think the fear was an obstacle. It was an obstruction.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you can't get excited. You could die.
Interesting.
You know, how can you get excited? I mean, I really think that's what I was thinking. I haven't spoken that out loud, but I think that's
okay. So if you're at a 9.5, and you and I are going to end here, what do you do to either maintain that or continue to bring yourself back to it if for some reason it sort of falls back down the scale? What are some things, some strategies you're going to have?
I think it would be prudent for me to write a letter to myself about why I'm so excited about going. And then I can, when I get scared, or it's not really scared, it's more, it's this sort of this underlying, I don't know, this could be, sort of an inner critic kind of.
Yeah, it totally sounds like that. So the letter, what else?
A letter about why I'm excited.
Okay.
That would be helpful. And then I can read it whenever I feel off. Mm-hmm. But, and then to get my, start getting my clothes ready and what books I want to bring.
Good.
Although I don't need to bring a, they have a great library down there.
Okay.
But.
All right.
Always nice to have books.
Great.
I think.
Those are two good things. Right. Would it be okay if I add one more?
Sure.
Find a turtle.
You know, the turtles are going to be hatching when I'm there.
Perfect.
I know.
So you must be there.
Yeah.
Okay. So when will you be doing this? When will you write the letter?
I'll write the letter. I can't. I might be able to start it tonight, but I've got a long day today.
Okay.
So I could start it tonight before I go to bed, and then I could definitely do it tomorrow.
Okay. Definitely tomorrow. Okay. How are you going to let me know?
I will. I'll send you a turtle to let you know. I'll send you a
turtle. Okay, perfect. All right. And then the clothing, gathering the clothing. When are you going to do that?
Let's see. I can start doing that tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay. So tomorrow will be a big day. Big day of excitement.
Yeah.
Okay. And how are you? How will I know about that you've begun that?
I'll send you a picture of the fabric.
Good. Fantastic. All right, Anne-Marie, have you got what you needed for my time today?
I did, thank you. This is
brief as it was.
Good. Yeah,
fantastic. Thank you so much.
Deep bow to you.
Deep bow. Yes, deep bows. Anne-Marie's deep bows. Okay, everyone, if you would rejoin, it would be great. Please.
Monica, it's good to see you. Look at your hair. It's really good to see you.
Oh, there's Veronica. Hi, are you in your little house?
Are you?
Yay. Good to see you. Okay.
Well, I should, we can talk later.
I know. This is what happens when someone comes back and we haven't seen them. Okay. So I would love to have, hear from some of you about what you noticed, what you're curious about. I will say at the very beginning, I was a little chunky. I've had a really busy weekend. And I think my brain, I was really recovering today. And I think my brain is just now rebooting. So apologies for the slow start, and appreciate your patience with that. But anyway, in terms of the session, how the session flowed, how we interacted, I would love to hear questions, comments, etc. And they can be for me or for Anne-Marie. So we can do client perspective, coach perspective. Jalene.
I'm just curious, Anne-Marie. So you've said you've been getting out and enjoying life in the past few months. What made Baja different for you than what you have been doing?
They have a weak signal for internet. And just looking at everybody's faces, I think you understand what I'm talking about. You know, I really need to step away from the school for a while and get a reset. I mean, I love this school and I'm in a good place with the school, but I just really want to find out who Anne-Marie is right now. I'm going to be 70 next year, like in 6 months. And I want to know, you know, what's this woman about?
That's great.
Beautiful.
Yes. So just to sort of start pointing out a couple things, one of the things that we could notice in the session is, you know, this client had an inner critic. There was a voice, a gremlin that was speaking up about like, oh, you gotta stay close to home. You gotta stay here. And it's just such a perfect example to show that our clients and our own inner critics do have our best interests in mind when they speak up. And we don't necessarily have to let them run the show. And so it was just an interesting, we didn't end up, you know, I raised the point saying, where's that coming from? And the client, Anne Marie, could have taken us into more exploration about what, where that inner critic comes from, how loud the voice is and so forth. And we could have spent quite a bit of time on that, but we didn't end up going there. But the fact that it came up and that we acknowledged it, that I acknowledged it as the coach, gives us the opportunity to go there if the client is, you know, so drawn there. This Anne Marie was not. She's definitely more on the excitement. She's definitely not listening so much to that inner critic. But that's one thing that definitely came up in the session that I noticed.
Yeah, and again, the somatic aspect of coaching is so important because I could feel, I mean, does everybody know what I mean when you're squeaking on the sand and you feel that vibration, you know, that almost comes all the way up through, you know, and it was like, I felt it and it was like, yeah, that's where I want to go. That's it. You know, I remember.
Yeah.
And I just, and my whole body just got flooded with joy at that moment. So mm-hmm. as a coach, what we want to do is be able to help the client be aware of that sensation, identify that sensation, you know, and Liv did a good job at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. What else did we notice in the session?
Corey.
Hi there. Well, I noticed that you asked, Liv, you asked a really good question when you asked Anne Marie about her excitement and if it was coming closer or if it was within her, what it would feel like. And I thought that was a really powerful question because then that led Anne Marie to expound more on that and kind of come up with that feeling about the sand. Her inner desire of why she really wanted to go there.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, definitely. Good. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that forward because that was a turning point.
Good. What else?
Sandra, I'm curious, what's going on with you? Because you've been very attentive. I've been watching you.
Well, we can't hear you, Sandra, for some reason.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me now?
Better.
Yes.
Yeah. So, hi, everyone. I'm actually from Malaysia. It's Tuesday morning here. this is my first encounter with the school, and I was really glad that I found mindfulness coaching school. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, but you know, the marketing, the promotions that I get around where I'm at, it's always, you know, just get your certificate and then you grow from there. And something feels really wrong with that. Yeah. So I waited. I'm really glad that I found MCS. And I'm just really enjoying this whole session. Even though I have to get up really early, but, you know.
Yes.
Really worth it. I listened to the recordings, but I wanted to be part of, you know, the live show. And I really enjoyed also the 15-minute session of coaching Anne Marie, you know, and helping you navigate your emotions and finding your center. I especially like the part where Liv tried to help you, well, or rather initiate that gratitude to the planet, to the earth, and you actually took your time to kind of reconnect, you know, to feel the senses at your feet perhaps before you rejoined her in the session. That really stood out to me because I don't know, I suppose, you know, a lot of healing, a lot of grounding comes from, you know, just settling down and from the base of our bodies.
Yeah.
It would only take the moment to do that.
Definitely.
Yeah. And all the fears that we have, and it's all around us.
Yeah.
It's time, right? It's really
good.
It's really hard to not come home. It's really hard to come home. So I think having help really helps.
Yeah. Yeah. And having the space and, you know, being given the opportunity to be, to have that coming home being witnessed mm-hmm. is really important. So we are at the top of the, we are.
Can I just say one really quick thing?
Yes. So,
Joyce, I don't, Joyce, do you want to check in real quick?
Thank you. I'll be quick. I thought it was very conversational, but I think because you two have a great rapport with one another, it made it very easy for the coach to help the client. But I'm wondering if it was a new client, if it would be that easy for that person to open up. But I enjoyed the session. And thank mm-hmm. you for letting me listen and hear.
That's okay. Such a great point, Joyce. And I mean, and I know, Amber, you want to respond. If I could just say one thing, because it comes up a lot in classes and in practice sessions, especially going into the somatic piece of like, you know, how do you get comfortable doing that when it's a new client? Even, you know, whether it's first session or, you know, 12th session, there can be a discomfort. And so we always take the client's lead. And if you'll notice, there was that opportunity or that time when I said, would it be okay if we try this? And the client can say no, or the client can actually, you can begin and the client can actually say, you know what, this is really wacky. I am not getting this. I think I've even done that as a client to probably to Amory times when I've just said, this isn't working. So, and it's just, you know, it's fine. We take the lead of the client. Anyway, so thank you for that point, because it is something that you try. We try things as coaches. And sometimes they work and sometimes they just don't.
And Joyce, I also want to respond. This afternoon in Body Electric, we talked pretty much about this, what you just brought forward. Because in coaching, what's wonderful about it is that we don't necessarily have to know the narrative. I mean, Liv knows me. She's been to my house. You know, we talk on the phone. I've known her for over a decade, I think.
Long time.
And so, yeah. So, you know, you picked up, Joyce, right on that. That's totally true. And if we didn't know each other, like if I coached you right now, I would probably not go into the narrative, the story of what you're bringing forward. I would be more interested in the story that you're going to create mm-hmm. as a result of this coaching session. Mm-hmm. You know, so I would be there to hold you in a container to help you move forward so that that dream of yours is going to happen. And that dream could be any kind of a dream. So what we talked about in Body Electric today was how interesting it is that we didn't know a story in one of the coaching sessions. And yet the client really got a lot out of it. So I wish we had more time and I would coach you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a great point that you bring up about the story that it isn't that it the backstory is often not necessary to get to the forward story. You know, I mean, just the headline of that is really, and it's so hard sometimes to think that actually it doesn't have to be that way. But it's also so relieving because sometimes just as much as the client wants to tell you the story, the client is often not interested anymore. Like just done with it. I'm done with this old story of what's keeping me back, of what's holding me back from packing my clothes to go to Baja.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Joyce, Great question. So I have to split. So I'm just going to say my little gig and then Liv is going to do hers, but feel free to call me. Feel free to call Liv if you're interested in, you know, especially if you're interested in business alchemy. Because it starts on Wednesday. And Sandra, I think you being in Malaysia, are you 14 hours ahead of us?
It's 8 a.m. right now.
Yeah, so you're 14 hours ahead of us. And so business alchemy you could do. You would be able to do that. And it's a good class to start. And then Deeper Than Words is going to start towards the end of October. And then we start a whole new, we might have Skillful Means. Do we have openings in Skillful
Means? I have the calendar here so I can look while you're talking.
Because we just had somebody have to reschedule because something came up with work. Anyway, so Skillful Means might be open. And that's towards the end of the day also. So, you know, Sandra, that might work for you. And Joyce, I don't know what your time zones are, but anyway. So I got to split. I'm going to go get my hair cut.
Yay. Get ready for Baja. Get ready for Baja. Woo, woo. Baja haircut.
So thank you very much. Thanks for being
thank
here.
Thank you, Anne Marie, for joining us. It's super. It's always a pleasure to have you. Much appreciated.
Okay.
Bye. And thank you all. It's so great to see familiar faces and new faces. And Sandra, it's so great to see your face after seeing your email. So wonderful to have you all. And my number is kind of in my little square. So if you want to take that down, we can chat. And for you, Sandra, WhatsApp is something I can do as well if we want to chat on the phone. But yeah, just reach out if you have questions about coaching or about the school or what have you, and I'm happy to chat. I can also stick around here just a bit if you want to talk further now. I'm happy to do that.
All right. I think a short chat.
Yeah, Corey, family. Okay. Sorry, Sandra. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't mind staying back for a bit because I have a bit of time until 9 a.m.
So
that was really good, and it's really good seeing you, Liv. So you know, like I was sharing just now, my journey of looking for a coaching school has been 7 years maybe. And you know, all the time I've just been